T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for the High School Football Radio Rally. With scores from all four corners of our great state, plus highlights and analysis. Now, here's Steve Thompson on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Rally. We're on a Thursday night, even though 3 games scheduled, because the Wolves wrap up the road trip against the Kings tomorrow night in Sacramento. Our pregame 8:30, tip 9 o'clock. John Folkey and Alan Horton with all the play-by-play. So here we are on a Thursday night in 6A. Eden Prairie beat Minnetonka 15-13. Eden Prairie heads for U.S. Bank Stadium and the semifinals next week. They will play the winner of Blaine and Eastview, but they had a power outage in White Bear Lake. David LeVaic from the Star Tribune was out there. We're going to get a game report on that one coming up from Jeff Pappas from PrepSpotlight.tv on what happened. Blaine's leading at 14-2. They'll resume tomorrow afternoon. And in 4A football, 1 game scheduled up at Park Center. And it was St. Paul Johnson roaring back to beat St. Anthony Village 24-22. The Governors head for U.S. Bank Stadium, and they will play in the semifinals next week. My dad's alma mater. How about that? 11 minutes past 10 o'clock here at CCO, and we're going to try and get Jim Paulson aboard here shortly, get an update on that St. Anthony, St. Paul Johnson game with Bill Hupp. And then Jeff Pappas will join us. And, of course, our scores are brought to you by Old Dutch Foods. We're going to visit with the head coach, Jordan Boasrick, about the Hubmen and their big year. And they are headed for the 3A quarterfinals, and they'll play on Saturday. And later in the hour, legendary Owatonna football coach Jeff Williams will join us and talk about Owatonna's big year. They finished the year number 1 in 5A during the regular season. They are now 10-0 and will take on Chaska at the TCO Performance Center in Eagan. Right now, let's bring in Jim Paulson from the Star Tribune with a report on Eden Prairie and Minnetonka. And Jim, you've had a big day. I saw you over at volleyball in St. Paul. You made the trip out to Chan tonight for Eden Prairie and Minnetonka, and weather is certainly a factor in this one.
Well, you know what? I thought when I saw it, the snow coming down and it was starting to gather on the field out here at Chanhassen, that it was Eden Prairie weather. Now, they have a great quarterback in Cole Kramer, who's going to sign with the University of Minnesota, and he's about as good a quarterback as they've had there in a long, long time, and he throws a nice ball. But, you know, Eden Prairie, their style, their MO is to grind the ball on the ground, control the clock, pick up yardage in small chunks, and just wear down other teams. And this was perfect weather for doing that. And while they didn't do it a lot, they did it enough, and they came out with a 15-13 victory.
Wow. And Eden Prairie advances a rematch of the title game, but you know how it goes in high school football. A lot of kids graduate and so on and so forth, but this is still a great rivalry in every sport.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, there's just no I could say the cliche, there's no love lost between these two teams, but it is right. A big rivalry with these two schools. And Minnetonka hasn't had a lot of success against Eden Prairie over the years, but they always play them tough. And quarterback Aaron Severson of Minnetonka was just terrific tonight, both of his feet and his arm. You know, he converted some long third down and fourth down passes that seemed impossible. He ran the ball well. He kept Minnetonka in the game. They're only down by 2 points late in the game, and they were driving, and the ball tipped off a receiver's hands, lands in the hands of a Eden Prairie defender with about a minute and a half to go, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah, Eden Prairie back to U.S. Bank Stadium, and not a surprise, even though they dropped that game earlier in the year to Lakeville North. Lo and behold, Eden Prairie is still a pretty good football team.
Yeah, you know, and Mike Grant, the Eden Prairie coach, had reiterated that this is not the best Eden Prairie team, and he acknowledged that it's not the best Eden Prairie team. But it's not about comparing those teams. It's about getting to play another week, and that's what they look forward to. They get to be together for another week. They get to be together to play inside, and they're taking it week by week. You know, they're one of four teams in Class 6A still standing. You know, I will say this, though. You can tell this means a lot to Grant because he got emotional after the game. Mike Grant is a guy that you know, doesn't get emotional very often, but he talked about he's had some hardships over the past years, has lost some people very close to him, some coaches and some people he knew very well. And you can tell that this victory means a lot to him to be with these kids, to accomplish what they're accomplishing, to maybe overachieve a little bit and do what Eden Prairie has always done. So, you know, in that regard, you're happy for Grant. You really are.
And they go indoors and will play next Thursday night against the winner of Blaine in Eastview, and that won't be decided until tomorrow. Well, Jim, you got to be tired and a little bit chilly. Thanks again for the time, as always.
Well, thanks for having me on, Steve. I'll maybe see you over at US at the Exo Center.
Yeah, it's a deal. There he is, Jim Paulson from the Star Tribune. You can read his game story tonight at startribune.com or in the paper tomorrow morning. They'll play the winner of Blaine and Eastview, and we're going to get much more on what happened at White Bear Lake with Jeff Pappas from PrepSpotlight.tv. And Jeff, what happened at White Bear Lake tonight? Tell us the story.
Well, the fashionable thing to say, I think, is that this game had a little bit of everything. This game did. It had an ejection, it had a power failure, and it had a postponement. And they're obviously not done yet. They won't be until tomorrow. So I guess you could say that the difference between the first and second half would be like the difference between night and day, because it will be. With about 2 minutes gone in the third quarter, Blaine had won the toss before the game had deferred and had had its first possession in the second half. It just punted the ball, and about half the lights in the stadium went out. The scoreboard went out, and players just kind of looked around, and then all of a sudden, poof, everything went, which was, of course, the cue for the fans in the stands to turn on their cell phone lights and start waving them around like
right.
A rock concert.
Right.
But then the vehicle started to arrive at White Bear Lake High School, and we started to figure, well, this might be a little bit more serious than that, but we weren't able to determine what was going on inside the building. Thankfully, White Bear Lake Fire Department is across the street from White Bear Lake High School. So it was obviously a quick response there, but after about 45 minutes, they realized that they were not going to get the lights on, and they sent everybody home. They sent the teams to the locker room probably 10 minutes after the power went out, and the rest of us were just left to sit outside and shiver and wait for the lights to come back on, which they never did.
Extraordinary. So the decision was made to resume tomorrow at 3 o'clock with Blaine leading, I understand, 14-2.
14-2. That's correct. There was a football game prior to that point. Eastview scored its points in the first quarter, a wildcat play. They fumbled a snap and wound up getting tackled in the end zone for a safety. And that lead held up until really Blaine figured out a way to get at the defense for East, which is one of the best ones in Class 6A. It allows about 11 points a game. But they really didn't have an answer for the sophomore, Will Fredrickson, in the first half as a 6-foot, 185-pound sophomore. It was quite a load. They found some space up the middle. They got him to the edge. They got him outside. They got him up the middle. He scored two short touchdowns in the latter part of the second quarter, touchdown runs of 2 and 7 yards to make it 14-2 at half. And in the middle of that, the fine running back for the Panthers, Quincy Suggs, was ejected from the game for fighting. And he was being gang tackled and unfortunately was adjudged to have thrown a punch by the official. So he was ejected from the game. And so when they resume tomorrow, the Panthers, they will be without one of their best players. And that's highly unfortunate for them, obviously.
All right, 14-2 the score, though. How much time remaining in the game again, Jeff?
About 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. I didn't happen to look at the scoreboard before it exploded.
Oh, so there's really a long way to go in this football game.
Yeah. Yes, there certainly is. Blaine had one possession. They took their the kickoff that they had earned, of course, by virtue of deferring, and after winning the toss, ran three plays, punted, and so Eastview's going to get the ball tomorrow with plenty of time on the clock, and they had it at about midfield as well. So they got a short field, but they have all night to think about it and a way to figure out how to get at this Blaine defense. And just a very, very active defense as well. Lucas Becker, I want to mention him, just a really, really active first quarter and a half in the backfield, making a real physical presence for an undefeated team that really showed that they could execute tonight, because it was obviously all about execution in this weather.
All right, so you're going to be back there tomorrow at 3 o'clock? Is that the plan? Or?
Yes, sir. That is the plan.
All right. Well, PrepSpotlight.tv, Jeff, good luck to you tomorrow. And thanks again for the time tonight. PrepSpotlight.tv is your online address for Minnesota high school sports. More than a dozen live games and matches every week, or watch them on demand all at PrepSpotlight.tv. And don't forget, Minnesota Prep Spotlight Sunday night at 9:30 on 45 TV. All right, let's get one more game report. And Bill Hupp saw a complete football game tonight at Park Center in 4A. Quarterfinal action, St. Anthony and St. Paul Johnson. Bill, good to visit with you tonight. And this was the story of a great big comeback for St. Paul Johnson. How about that?
Good to be with you too, Steve. Yeah, no doubt. Just an unbelievable game that took place at Pride Stadium at Park Center High School. And it really was, I want to say, a tale of two halves, but not quite. St. Anthony stormed out to a 22-0 lead. They, on the first possession, St. Paul Johnson went 3 and out. And then they snapped their, because it was snowing very heavily at Park Center for three quarters of the game, and obviously before the game as well. So snowing and windy, really adverse conditions, and that led to a lot of fumbles all night. And right away, St. Paul Johnson snapped it over the head of their kicker, and he was going to knock it out of the end zone, and he got shoulder to side. The football was laying there. St. Anthony dove on it. They quickly took an 8-0 lead, and they would extend that lead on the ground, just churning out yardage, two touchdown runs by junior bruising tailback Jonathan Kieran, as well as Troy Ellison. They have a really quick, athletic kid named Troy Ellison, who's been a playmaker for them all year, 1,500 total yards. And he was absolutely gashing St. Paul Johnson early. And so as of a minute to go in the first half, St. Anthony enjoyed a 22-0 lead. But St. Paul Johnson, had a couple plays towards the end of the half, and including a big one where sophomore quarterback Joey Moberg threw to his senior brother, Luke Moberg, and then, of course, coached by their father, Eric Moberg. So Joey found Luke down the sideline, down the right sideline from 45 yards out. And so St. Paul Johnson got on the board with 30 seconds left in the first half. It was 22-8 at halftime. And then in the second half, really just the Governors really just tightened down defensively. They forced three fumbles by St. Anthony, and they had some big, big turnovers on downs deep in their own territory throughout the second half. And again, Joey and Luke connected three more times, and really that was the difference. Luke ended up catching a pass down at the 6-yard line late in the third quarter, and so St. Paul Johnson got within 22-16 rather at the end of the third quarter because of a big play connection, 48 yards Joey to Luke at the end of the third quarter. And and then in the fourth quarter, that playmaker I was telling you about, Troy Ellison, and I feel terrible for the kid because he made big plays all night, but he tried to field a punt at his own 48, fumbled. St. Paul Johnson was able to recover, and they drove down. And on fourth down, again, Joey found Luke for the tying touchdown at 22. And then an interesting play, Steve, to take the lead. Ultimately, what happened, twice they had run two-point conversions in which they had four receivers split out to the far side, to the left side. And Joey would just take the direct snap and run a quarterback draw. Wow. And that worked twice. Well, they showed the same formation the third time, but this time, instead of running it, Joey threw a quick slant to his brother Luke for the go-ahead two-point conversion.
Wow.
The defense held late And that's how St. Paul Johnson came back to stun St. Anthony Village tonight, 24-22. So unbelievable atmosphere and just a wild and crazy game, especially with the weather and all things considered. But a great story for St. Paul Johnson. First time in the state tournament since 1981. And they really, you know, coaches' sons and everything. It's really quite a remarkable story. Right. The leadership shown by the sophomore quarterback and the connection he had with his brother at wide receiver tonight.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, thanks so much. Appreciate it, Bill. Have a good evening.
You too, Steve. Thank you.
All right, Bill Hupp, PrepSpotlight.tv. In 4A quarterfinal action, Johnson beats St. Anthony Village 24-22. A short Old Dutch Food scoreboard. In 6A, Eden Prairie beat Minnetonka 15-13. Blaine leading Eastview 14-2 in quarter number two. They had the power outage. They'll play tomorrow at 3. Quick break. We'll come back. We're going to visit with a coach. We're going to take a break. We'll have all the pairings. And then legendary head coach from Owatonna, Jeff Williams, will join us to close out the show tonight. It is a radio rally, and it's brought to you by Federated Insurance. 1029 here at CCO, 22 degrees, light snow, fog, mist. The roads are in really tough shape. That light snow has created a lot of problems on the roadways here in the Twin Cities area and beyond. So by all means, take it easy out there. Quick update on the Old Dutch Food scoreboard. Just two games have gone final. In 6A, Eden Prairie beat Minnetonka 15-13 to advance to the semifinals at U.S. Bank Stadium. They'll play the winner of Blaine and Eastview. They won't decide that until tomorrow. Blaine up 14-2 in quarter number two. They had a power outage at White Bear Lake. They'll decide it tomorrow beginning at 3. Other games in 6A tomorrow night. At Osseo, Woodbury takes on Lakeville South. And at TCO Performance Center in Eagan, Lakeville North meets St. Michael Albertville. The winners there will meet a week from tomorrow night at U.S. Bank Stadium. And in 4A, Johnson came back to beat St. Anthony Village 24-22. They'll play the winner of Wilmer and Hermantown. They'll go with tomorrow night at 7 at Monticello High School. Let's bring in a coach. Bo Osrick joins us, head coach of the Jordan Hubman. And, Coach, thanks so much for staying up late and joining us tonight to talk about your team. Wow, your club's had a really good year.
Yeah, it's been fun. Yeah, it's been a great year. We've built on the success of the past 2 years, and hopefully we can keep it rolling.
Yeah, and some big victories, and your team can throw it around a little bit. Some of those numbers are just insane, and it all starts with your quarterback.
Yeah, he's having a good year. We've been pretty blessed to have two good quarterbacks the past 2 years. So now it's Bryce's turn, and he's kind of picked right up where those two have left off. And he's really kind of a cross between the two of them, between, you know, Zach Katz, who we had 2 years ago, who was a little bit of a runner, and then last year with Jonathan Dreheim, who was, you know, another close to 3,000-yard passer.
Yeah, Bryce Severs is the kid's name, and he can't do it alone. He's got to have receivers, and he's got to have an O-line to protect him, and he's been able to put it together and put up some huge numbers this season.
Yeah, I mean, we've had, you know, we have, one receiver who's already over 1,000, another one who's on the doorstep of 1,000, and then, you know, our tight end, you know, Ryan Tregis, you know, tight end, other slot receiver, he's actually our school's all-time leader in career reception. So, you know, between those three, and then, you know, we had Thomas Dito actually went out. He was our fourth receiver. He went out a few games ago, the week 8 matchup, with a lacerated liver. So, but he was playing outstanding football, really doing a lot of complimentary stuff. And then Jerry Powell and Adam Kreiser both, you know, contributing with some big plays throughout the year.
Yeah, just extraordinary, the numbers being put up of the 1,000-yard receiver, Ryan Samuelson, and the guy closing in, Marlon Wiley. What about that O-line? That's a big part of a potent passing game, to have those guys up front protect your quarterback and give him time.
Oh, 100%. They, you know, and it's a veteran group. You know, our center, you know, it all starts with him. He's one of our team captains. in Thomas Gutzmer. He's going on, you know, this is his fourth year as a starter, so he's been around the block a little bit, and he's really picked up what the system that we brought, you know, the past 3 years, really, as far as just being that leader. And then Calvin Menke, who is our right guard, you know, he's, you know, I would argue one of the top five linemen in the state. He's a punishing blocker. He's got great feet and just does a great job. And, you know, and we've had a few injuries on the offensive line. So we've had, you know, seven guys who probably contributed, you know, quite consistently throughout the year. And, you know, that's a credit to our coaching staff, you know, our O-line coaches that do a great job at preparing not just the first five, but making sure we have depth at that position, that we have guys ready to go. And it's been, you know, really, you know, easy for me being able to count on those guys every week going out there to protect Bryce and to open up holes for Akko and McCauley to run through.
Yeah, and defensively, you've been able to get it done in the section tournament, hold Rockford to 8 and Holy Family to 6. And that's part of having a good year as well, as being able to stop the other team.
Well, that's been a huge change for us. Is, you know, we looked at our team last year and where we were, and we really felt like we needed to, you know, kind of work on our mentality defensively and really kind of get that honed in. And, you know, Brian Heller taking over as our defensive coordinator has really brought that attitude to the defense. And I really think the kids have bought into it. They really have responded to what we're trying to do. And, you know, I really think it's been the difference in our team this year as far as just being able to dominate on that side of the ball.
Big challenge, Rochester Lured, coming up on Saturday at Hopkins. You'll play at noon. You like that noon start on Saturday?
Well, it's different. I mean, yeah. Obviously, you know, for high school kids, it's a little bit of a change. But no, looks like the weather will cooperate a little bit with us at that time. It looks like they're calling for snow a little bit later. But no, it should be fun. You know, they're a good football team, a historic program in the state. So it's going to be a good challenge for us.
Well, congrats, Coach, on an outstanding season to this point. I know you get into the quarterfinals, and the goal is to get to U.S. Bank Stadium, so a big one coming up on Saturday.
That's it. You know, we feel like, you know, we were kind of in shock and awe last year when we went to U.S. Bank Stadium, you know, and just kind of feel like maybe we went there and saw the sights, and we kind of have big hopes of getting back there this year and maybe doing something right when we get there instead of just being a tourist. So we're pretty excited about the opportunity, and we're excited about what we can do Saturday.
Thanks so much for the time tonight.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
There he is, Bo Osrick, head coach Jordan Hubman. They take on Lured, Rochester Lured, at Hopkins High School Saturday at noon. Once again, 3A tournament, all the games on Saturday. Piers Annandale at St. Cloud State. Jordan takes on Rochester Lured. Perham against Two Harbors. They'll play that in Brainerd Saturday afternoon. And same deal Saturday afternoon at Hopkins, Cannon Falls and Fairmont. Quick break. We have the weather, and then the coach of top-ranked Owatonna, Jeff Williams, will join us before we say goodbye here on the Radio Rally, brought to you by Federated Insurance. Welcome back. It is the Radio Rally, brought to you by Federated Insurance. We're on tonight, even though just three games scheduled. 6A, Eden Prairie beat Minnetonka 15-13. They'll play the winner of Blaine and Eastview, postponed due to a power outage at White Bear Lake. They're up 14-2 in the second. They'll resume tomorrow at 3. Meanwhile, over in 4A, the lone game scheduled there, St. Paul Johnson roars back to beat St. Anthony Village 24-22. They'll meet the winner of Wilmer Hermantown. They'll play that tomorrow night in Monticello. I had a chance to visit earlier tonight with Owatonna's head coach Jeff Williams. Owatonna finished a regular year, of course, number one in 5A, and they will take on Chask on Saturday at noon at the TCO Performance Center in Eagan. Coach, pleasure to visit with you, and congrats on a great year so far.
Well, thanks, Steve. You know, it's really been a lot of fun. We've been able to spend an awful lot of time with some really good kids, and that's the most rewarding thing of coaching football, is the opportunity to spend a lot of time with great guys.
And your team came right out of the gate against Faribault in the opener and really rolled during the regular season. I mean, most nights your team was in command from the get-go.
And we were concerned about that. You know, last year we got a comeuppance against Northfield week 7, and that really kind of solidified our team, I think, moving forward. We weren't playing great football at that time of the year. Actually kind of stumbled out of the gate a little bit against New Prague in week 8. And, you know, we were kind of able to get our footing and make a strong run into the state playoffs. And this year we may, you know, maybe have had a little bit too much success. And hopefully the kids understand that there's an awful lot of good football left to be played and a lot of good football teams that remain to be played against. And hopefully our kids are taking it all very seriously, because we really haven't had our comeuppance this year.
And Coach, you've had good teams over the years at Owatonna. Is it difficult to find that balance of making sure the starters, the regulars, get enough playing time, but you also get some time for those reserves, so if an injury does happen, you know, they're ready to go?
Yeah, you know, and we're fairly quick to get our starters off the field. If we feel like we've got a game in hand, you know, we'll get the guys off and get those reserves in, because we really do feel like we need to build depth. And that has paid dividends for us down the road, because we have found kids who are able to play that, you know, maybe we hadn't seen in weeks 1 through 6, but week 7, 8, 9, all of a sudden it's like, well, this kid can play for us on Friday night. And we find some kind of diamonds in the rough for a good state playoff run, and that's really benefited us, I think, over the years.
When you look at this team, did you know you had something pretty good when you went into summer camp and you got together in August?
You know, we didn't have a lot of returning starters, but we had a pretty special one in Jason Williamson, our running back. He was the Gatorade Player of the Year in the state last year as a junior, and so we knew that we had Jason to build around. But we had graduated virtually everybody else who had been a starter. But, you know, our younger classes have had a lot of success. And this group of juniors that we have right now, their only loss, coming up through the ranks at any age, was to Minnetonka last year in 10th grade football. And we actually probably should have beat them, but ended up having a punt return for a touchdown with 4 seconds left. So we knew that we had some good young guys. I guess the biggest question was, would they be ready to form a core, a nucleus that we could build around Jason going into this season? And we've been really pleased with how those kids have matured. You know, we only start one senior in our offensive line this year, 4 juniors, and those kids have really gelled together very effectively. We've had a nice junior step in at linebacker. A lot of our D-backs are juniors, and so we're relatively young, but those kids now have 9 weeks of experience, 10 weeks of experience underneath their belts, and they're playing more and more like seniors now. So, yeah, we kind of knew that we had a nice group of kids coming. It was just a matter of how quickly we could get them to mature so they'd be ready to play on Friday night.
They were number one at the end of the regular season in 5A. Owatonna head coach Jeff Williams joins us, and they move on to the state tournament and play Chask on Saturday at noon at the TCO Performance Center in Eagan. About this team and some of those guys, you brought up the running back Williamson, and over the years, you've coached a lot of good football players. I know you probably don't want to rank the players, but he's got to be right at the top of the list.
Yeah, we've had a couple of kids who have been outstanding offensive and defensive linemen. Casey Dean went to Wisconsin. Andrew Stelter went to Minnesota. So this is kind of a unique situation now, where we've got a skill position player, a running back, you know, who is of that caliber. And, you know, I'd probably have to tell you right now, and 30 years of coaching football, he's the best athlete that, you know, I've been around. You know, the only other kid I think that I've ever seen that had the skill set that I was on the field with was Doug Zmolik, who played 17 years in the NHL. And I was an assistant coach at John Marshall with him. And Doug was a special athlete and obviously made it in hockey. But Jason brings that same kind of athleticism, and he's just a crazy athlete, and really a joy to be around. He's a real quiet, humble kid, but an intense competitor. And I'd have to put him right up there at the top of the kids that I've ever had the experience to work with.
So a good run through the regular season, through the sections, onto the state tournament. First off, you get a chance to play at the new home of the Vikings, the TCO Performance Center. And the way the weather's going, looks like a noon start may work out pretty well.
Yeah, there's a chance, actually, that we could see a little bit of sun.
Right.
You know, we went out and practiced outside all week and dealt with wind and a little bit of snow and that sort of thing. So hopefully our kids are prepared for, you know, the weather that we're going to see there. But it's just a neat opportunity and a great venue to have an opportunity to play a game. And I know that our kids are really excited about that.
And I know the fan support is always good for Owatonna football. And I have a feeling a lot of folks are going to make the trip up to Eagan for that one.
Yeah, we travel well. There's always a sea of blue that supports our kids. And, you know, it's something we always warn our kids about. You know, you're going to walk out to midfield at the Metrodome or midfield at U.S. Bank Stadium, and it's going to be a big setting and all that. But what's really going to strike you is when they introduce you guys as a team and you hear that explosion behind you of our fans cheering. I mean, it really is almost like a bomb goes off. And you always have to kind of warn the kids about that, you know, to take that in, because it really is something special.
And a pretty tough draw to start the quarterfinals of the state tournament. Chaska, they've had a good run, and they played really well in the section playoffs in maybe the toughest section in 5A football.
Yeah, very good and very physical section with Waconia, Chanhassen, and Mankato West over in Section 2. All of those teams pride themselves on being able to run the football. You know, Chaska is very big up front. They've got very athletic and large defensive linemen, linebackers. Their secondary are awfully good cover guys. Offensively, you know, they kind of messed around with a few different concepts early on in the season and kind of stumbled out of the gate a little bit. But they've really settled into a nice power running game. And they're going to be a very formidable opponent. And I think our kids understand that. They're going to outweigh us at virtually every position. And they're very, very aggressive. And they've gone through the gauntlet. And our kids are going to have to be prepared for the most physical game that we've played all season.
And I've been thrilled, and I'm sure you have as well, about 5A football. I think it was a good move to move all those big schools from the cities up to 6A. And 5A football ever since has been really entertaining and a great tournament.
It is a great brand of football, and you've got a lot of communities that are, you know, one school that's 30, 40, 50 miles outside the metro area, and the communities really get behind those schools, and it's really been a great opportunity for us and Elk River and Mankato West and Brainerd and Apple Valley and schools like that that, you know, just don't have a high enough enrollment to be able to get into knockdown dragouts with some of the bigger schools in the state. You know, give schools our size, communities our size, an opportunity to compete at the highest level, because, you know, we've got about five section runner-up trophies sitting in our case from, you know, when Lakeville North was in our section. And, you know, we always prided ourselves on the ability to compete with the best teams in the state, and we always had good tussles with Lakeville North, but always kind of came up on the short end. And I think that's benefited us as we've moved into the 5A football schema, because our kids have had to compete at the highest level against great teams in the state of Minnesota, and now we kind of know what it takes to compete at that level.
Well, Coach, pleasure to visit with you. Good luck on Saturday, and I know it means a lot to the kids and everybody to have a chance to play at U.S. Bank Stadium and take that next step toward the title game.
We're going to do everything we can to get there, Steve.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
There he is, Jeff Williams, the legendary Owatonna football coach. Once again, Owatonna plays their quarterfinal against Chaska Saturday at noon at TCO Performance Center. They'll play the winner of Elk River and Spring Lake Park. They will play the late game at 5 at TCO Performance Center on Saturday. The other side of the bracket, Bemidji against Cambridge Iceni up at St. Cloud State on Saturday night. And Tartan takes on St. Thomas Academy in Shakopee Saturday at noon. Quick break. We've got more of the Radio Rally brought to you by Federated Insurance in a moment. Welcome back one more time. It is the Radio Rally brought to you by Federated Insurance here on the first night of the state quarterfinals because, oh, we got the Timberwolves tomorrow night. Timberwolves in action on Friday night. They will be in Sacramento. Our pregame at 8:30, tip 9 o'clock. John Folkey and then Alan Horton here on the home of the Wolves. Just three games scheduled tonight. We previewed a ton of games coming up on Friday and Saturday through the night. Big thanks to all the coaches and all the game reports. In 6A, Eden Prairie beat Minnetonka 15-13. Eden Prairie plays the winner of Blaine and Eastview. Their game postponed due to a power outage at White Bear Lake. Blaine up 14-2, quarter number two. They'll resume it tomorrow at 3. The other semifinals to be played tomorrow night, Woodbury against Lakeville South. They'll go at 7 o'clock. And then Lakeville North against St. Michael Albertville. They'll play that one at 7 at TCO Performance Center in Eagan. We've got to run. The news, the weather, and Al coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.